some basic training for Natty's 18th birthday. Before he left, Natty gave him a silver cigarette lighter engraved with the words, "With love always, Natalie," to wear in his left breast pocket where he kept his cigarettes. She bought it with what little money she could save every month from her school's $15 stipend. Uncle Bob, Uncle Max, and Uncle Izzy had met Eddie during their various trips to New York City. Bob and Max met their so-called business contacts there. Izzy's sculptures were on display at the Metropolitan Museum of Art. Eddie had an instinct for people that was usually spot on, but people rarely changed in his eyes, so if he marked them as no good in his mental notebook, they stayed no good. At their first meeting, Eddie had spotted Bob and Max for what they were. He'd met plenty of guys like them on the street and at the boxing clubs. For Natty's sake, he'd been polite to her uncles, but had wanted nothing further to do with them. He'd marked Izzy down as a good guy. Max thought Eddie a man's man, not someone who could easily be duped. Izzy had given a good report of Eddie to his parents in Cleveland. He told them Eddie had an artist's temperament. Successful artists needed to be able to accept criticism, but he was not sure Eddie could do that. He hoped Eddie's temper didn't extend to Natty. Eddie wrote to Natty admitting he couldn't possibly find time to write every day. He included humorous anecdotes that wouldn't make Natty blush, and wrote he was taking the hard work and long hours in stride. He was in excellent shape from his boxing days, so the long marches and drill instruction carrying heavy gear were no problem, despite his still skinny frame. He boxed for fun. She wrote back in between hospital shifts and classes. October 1, 1951. "Dear Eddie, I miss you. What's it like there? What's the weather like this time of year? What should we do when you get leave? Do you know the dates yet? I want to trade hospital shifts if I can while you're here. I can't wait. Seems like forever. Please be careful. Hugs and kisses. Love, Nat." Eddie knew Natty's family was in a state of upheaval. All he cared about was that she was all right. As much as she had been through in her short life, being left with relatives in Cleveland, losing her father at a young age, having a sister with mental illness and a mother who wasn't much better. Somehow she'd emerged like a butterfly from a broken cocoon. She managed to find happiness and give others happiness without dwelling on her past or what had been bad in her life. He knew he was not as easygoing as Natty. He had a quick temper and had not adjusted quite as smoothly to what his own life had wrought. Now they were apart. Will she find someone else? Will her mother convince her to find someone rich so she doesn't end up like her, resenting the fact that she ever met Harry? Natty was still young and had to finish nursing school before they could marry. What might happen between now and then? How would he be after being in a war? Maybe she won't want to be with me anymore, he wondered. He was glad Natty was busy and wanted an education. He would have preferred to attend college and major in art, but knew that wasn't possible for people like him, who had no money. The army drafted him at the right time, as hard as it was for him and Nat to be apart. He'd save his pay and return to make a life for them. The days passed quickly. Sometimes they made him dig up holes and then fill them again, doing pointless tasks to maintain discipline, he guessed. He figured he'd had enough discipline from his mother, who was very strict when he was growing up. He was learning all about tanks and was excited about being a tank commander. He thought he might be safe in a tank. When he finally got home on leave, he went to see his family first, then walked to see Natty in the student dormitory as soon as he could get away. She was expecting him. Eddie sat down to wait in the lobby where Mrs. Henshaw was still scrutinizing all male visitors. She made sure there was no hand-holding or kissing on her watch. He watched Natty walk down the stairs from the dormitory rooms to the lobby. She wore a red dress. He could tell she was trying not to run. That would irritate Mrs. Henshaw, who might not let them leave together. He watched Natty as she reached the last step, and with a glance in Mrs. Henshaw's direction, she half-walked, half-ran to Eddie. He scooped her up and lifted her off the ground. He quickly kissed her on the mouth. They both stopped to look at Mrs. Henshaw. Her head was in a newspaper. She was standing at her small desk, reading the newspaper. They had left the building before she changed her mind. They had a wonderful time while Eddie was home. He took her to the jazz clubs where he and his Bijou Club pals had gone during high school. They went to the movies and to the soda shop where Eddie used to work. When Natty was in class or working at the hospital, Eddie spent time with his father and Miriam. He went back to sleeping on two chairs in his parents' small living room. "At least in the army, I have a bed," he thought. One day he was getting ready to go out. There was a knock on the bathroom door. Once he had on his shirt and pants, he opened the door. His mother stood there. She was short, but took up most of the doorway with her width, dish rag in hand, frowning. She'd stopped caring about her weight not long after Eddie was born. She didn't want her husband to find her so attractive anymore. "Eddie, there's a man here who wants to see you," she said in Yiddish. "I don't know his name. I don't want strange men coming into this house." "Who is it, Ma?" said Eddie as he started to put on his belt. He slipped his feet into his shoes and hurried past her. His mother followed close behind him, wringing the dish rag in her hands, ready to hit the stranger with it if he approached her. Eddie opened the front door to find Herman standing there. "Oh, Ma, it's only Herman, Rose's husband. Why do you get so worked up?" he said, half in Yiddish, half in English. "Hey, Herman, what are you doing here?" "Come in, come in," Eddie said, gesturing past his mother into the living room. Ma glared at Eddie on her way back to the kitchen. He chose to ignore her anger, but knew he'd be in for it later if he stuck around. He'd make sure to stay out tonight until she was sound asleep. Eddie showed Herman to the best chair in the room. Herman had taken off his fedora when he saw Gussie and had intended to greet her politely in Yiddish, but she didn't give him a chance. So he held his hat in his hand, sat down where Eddie indicated. His suit was wrinkled and his tie slightly askew. Eddie had met Herman enough times to know he was a meticulous man, much like Eddie was, everything in its place. They agreed a man's appearance was very important. It could help him transcend poverty and bad luck. "What can I do for you, Herman?" "Natty's not here. Do you want to see her?" "Is everything all right? Is Natty all right?" Eddie could feel himself becoming increasingly anxious as it dawned on him that maybe Natty was not all right, and Herman came to tell him that. "Natty's fine. Everyone's fine," Herman said, exasperated. He couldn't sit still, fidgeting with his hat as he sat on the edge of the seat. "Hey, Eddie, can you come with me? I've got something I want to show you. Do you have time? I wouldn't ask, but it's important. I didn't come about Natty. Natty's fine, I promise." "Sure, Herman, if you say it's important. Where are we going?" Eddie asked, getting up to get his coat and hat. "My place. None of the women are home right now. I'd rather they not see what I want to show you." "Okay, Herman, you're being very mysterious. Now I'm curious," Eddie said as they left the house and got into Herman's car without bothering to say goodbye to Gussie. They drove through the busy Brownsville streets. It was a typical Friday afternoon, bustling with last-minute shoppers, hoping to get food for their Sabbath meal before sundown. Herman didn't talk as he drove, so Eddie took up the slack by telling him about basic training and his anxiety about leaving Natty for a year. Herman didn't respond as he parked in front of his apartment building. Eddie hoped this wouldn't take too long. Natty had the evening off, and they planned to go out and make the most of the time Eddie had left at home. When Herman was done showing him whatever it was, he'd ask him to drop him by the nursing school, so he didn't have to waste time on the trolley. Herman remained silent until they climbed the stairs and he'd unlocked the door to the apartment. He walked through every room to make sure Rose wasn't there, and then Natty hadn't stopped by. He didn't expect Abby. She was back in the hospital. Rose was supposed to be visiting her now. Once he was sure the coast was clear, he went into the master bedroom, leaving Eddie standing in the living room, unsure whether to sit down. He didn't want to give Herman the impression he had time to stay very long. Eddie looked around the room. It had been a while since he'd been in the apartment. He always met Natty at the nursing school. It was a nice place. There were all sorts of knick-knacks on the bookshelves. Not many books, though, Eddie noted. The furniture looked new and modern. "I bet Rose likes this a lot better than her old house," he thought. He turned around to find Herman standing opposite him, holding a pistol. It was Herman's service revolver from his detective days.
"Hey,
what's going on here?" Eddie said, holding his hands up, trying to remember what he'd just learned in Army basic training. "You're not planning to shoot me, are you, Herman?" Eddie kept his voice casual, but was glad he'd reconnoitered the room while waiting for Herman. He knew he was fast on his feet. He was a boxer, and Herman was more than twice his age. He could take him if he needed to, but this sure was unexpected. "Of course not, Eddie. What do you think I am, some sort of criminal? I plan to use this on myself." Eddie put his hands down, relieved Herman hadn't completely lost his mind and wasn't actually going to shoot him. Then he became alarmed as what Herman said hit him. "I tell you, Eddie, I can't stand it anymore. I can't live with Rose. She's driving me crazy. And that Laura, it's like I can't be in my own house anymore. Laura decides everything and Rose listens to her. I can't take it. I'm just going to put myself out of my misery. I'm telling you because I need your help. For after, I mean," finished Herman, still holding the gun, cradling it in both hands. "Let me see that, Herman," said Eddie, taking the opportunity to grab the gun from Herman, who let him take it without resisting. Eddie turned the weapon over in his hands, looking for bullets. One very rusty one was lodged, ready to fire. "Why, the bullet is covered in rust. You're liable to get blood poisoning and die a slow death," teased Eddie, trying to lighten the mood. "Let me take the gun and get rid of it for you. I know some guys who can do that." "Okay, Eddie, I guess you're right. But what am I going to do?" Herman slumped on the couch, head between his hands. "I can't tell you that, Herman, but whatever you do, poisoning yourself with a rusty bullet is not the answer. You're better off getting a divorce and finding someone else. There are many beautiful women your age out there. Rose will find someone else willing to put up with her crap." "Thanks, Eddie. Thanks," said Herman, getting up to show Eddie out. "I hope I haven't ruined your evening." Eddie laughed to himself as he ran down the stairs, half from relief, half from what Herman had just said. "Ruin my evening? Why should showing me a gun and telling me you want to blow your brains out ruin my evening?" Eddie thought. "Some people are just nuts." He didn't share the story with Natty until much later. He didn't want her to worry about Herman or be frightened that Eddie had been in a room with a loaded gun, and he wasn't in combat. She wouldn't be surprised that Rose was driving her husband crazy, though. He was glad Natty was rarely home anymore or around Rose much. Natty had her own life now, but Eddie felt like he wasn't really going to be part of it until he returned from the army. Eddie admitted to himself that he was anxious that he might have to fight. He didn't tell anyone except his best friend, Norm Weissman, his pal from the Bijou Club, who'd also been drafted. Once or twice he thought about talking to his brother Mac, who was a World War II hero. But Eddie had been very young when Mac had gone off to war. He didn't know how Mac felt about it. Eddie didn't want to appear a coward now that it was his turn.